I just wanted to do just add something from yesterday. I remember I did the Rashi from Chul, but I realized that that wasn't exactly the Rashi I was looking for. The Rashi I was really looking for was the Rashi right before, which is much clearer. Just to clarify, he says that Dimidoraisa, the Gemara says, Beruba Botil. Okay, so Rashi says, No Saint Tom Kimlon de Osir Bikachim Kikar Ma. I'm sorry, wrong one. Kloma. Elav Mehai, if it wasn't for this Xeris Akosov of the topic of the Gemara, I'm not going into it. Elav Mehai Gamrinon, Umashvinon. Elav Mehai Gamrinon. Umashvinan bitul tam kishar bituli de raisa baruba. Baruba havi, the bituli. Just wanted to show you that Rashi's learning, without tam kikr, you would just treat tam like anything else, and you would say it would be batal barov. Right? So in other words, when he's saying tam olam mashal means it's not solid, it's nimcha, it doesn't mean it's automatically mutter, it means if it's subject to bitul barov. But if it itself was the rov, it would be a ban. Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. Learning, right? No, it's just, that's what we were saying yesterday. When you say, if you don't hold from tam ki'ikr, that doesn't mean that tam is nothing, but it's not ki'ikr. It's not like a thing on its own. It's not like its own nicker entity. It's subject to bitul, even though you taste it. As Rashi's saying, even though I taste it, you'd go by rove. What's the rove of the taste? The rove of the tam, of the substance is heter, then the shame of the iser is not extant and it'd be batal. But if rove is iser, even if it's nimche, it would definitely be aser. Okay. So anyway, so let's go back to Sorchas Apol and Samach Zayin Beis. Are we gonna do the Ramban? Yeah, so let's take the Ramban sheet. I don't really spend all that much time on the Ramban sheet, but it's another position in terms of what we mean by tam kikr. The Ramban happens to hold like Rashi, that tam kikr is mutter midiraisa, but he does define what tam kikr what is referring to. He has a funny formulation, right? He says it means tam kikr means when you have so much tam, right? That what? That it tastes like you have a kezayis b'kedei achilas pras. Interesting idea, right? See, he's also going to the kezayis b'kedei achilas pras, but he's not saying like the Rabbeinu Chaim from yesterday. Not that it means there is literally a kezayis b'kedei achilas pras in the tarovas. He's giving like a shear of the tam. How tasty? How much taste does the iser give? Does it give like a hint of a flavor? Or does it give a powerful taste? As if it gives so much taste as if there were actually a kezayis b'kedei achilas pras. What's his case? His case is like by the grape.
Right?
Yes. His case is the grape. That if you have a cup of water, right? You have a cup of water. Get all the right colors for this one. Cup of water, right?
Perfect.
And what do? You soak in the water
grapes.
Cluster of grapes. Okay? Soaking in the water. So that's the case of Mishras Anavim. That's where we learn tam kikr from Mishras Anavim, basically. So he says if you leave this grape sitting here, so eventually the water will pick up the flavor of the grapes. And then even though you remove the grapes,
right.
So no grape actually went in. None of the grapes come out whole. But if you leave it to soak in the water so long that if you were to taste the water, you would say it tastes as if somebody poured a reverse of yayin, a reverse of grape juice in it. That's how much tam is soaking into that water. It says that's what we call tam kikr. Right? That's the state of tam kikr. Anything less than that would not even be a tam kikr, according to him. Now, even if you hold from tam kikr, he's saying, it means, what does tam kikr mean? It does not mean like Rabbeinu Tam. It does not mean like the Balei Tosfos. Right? The Balei Tosfos held, It's the tam itself. Any tam itself is an isser. They're only arguing if, according to like Rabbeinu Tam, it's its own identity of isser, it's its own new form of isser, and as long as every kezias that has the tam, you'll get malchus on. According to Rabbeinu Chaim, it's like a derech of eating the, it's like a din that you consider to be eating the mamish by eating the tam. But, so whatever the nature of the mamish is, that's the nature of the tam. So if the mamish is a kezias b'kedei achilas pras, and chayav malchus, then the achilas tam will be an achila of a kezias. But it'll be like an achila of, you'll get malchus on. But if the isser itself, if the mamish is only a chatzishir, then the tam will be a din of chatzishir. But it will still be an isser deraisa, according to those shitas, even if it's less than kezias b'kedei achilas pras. But the Ramban is learning tam ki ikar means, who wrote, tam ki ikar means, tam ki ikar means that the shear of the tam, it requires a certain shear of tam in order to be considered ki ikar. Has to be so much tam in there that it's as if there was, as if you added a kezias b'kedei achilas pras or a revius b'kedei achilas pras. Right? You want to read that part of the Ramban? Right. So he has that idea of a tam gadol. Tam ki'ikar is not just any tam, it has to be a tam gadol. Go ahead. Right. It's a tam gadol as if, how big of a tam? A tam that tastes as if a kezias of the mamish was actually melted right in here. Meaning to say, in the grape case, it's easy to think about it. The grapes have to be soaking and giving so much time to the water that it's as if you had poured in a full reveus of grape juice. Now, in my drawing, of course, the more reasonable case would be if you had a gigantic cluster of grapes. Right? So much grape, so many grapes are soaking in here.
It's going to be understandable that it would taste like wine.
Then even though only a little bit is coming out of each grape, in the end, it's going to taste like you poured in, you know, the equivalent of one little reveus of grape juice. Right? That's how tasty, right? If I took a giant bushel of, cluster of grapes, and I soaked it in a small thing of water for 2 days, and I pulled it out, the water would taste the same way as if I took a little bit, as if I poured in 3 ounces of grape juice. It's possible. It's feasible. That would be considered tam kicker. If it didn't have that magnitude of tam, that it tastes like there's really an ochel in here, that would not be tam kicker. So what's the svar of his shita? That's the question. So, I mean, it sounds like he's saying, it's hard to define it exactly, but he sounds like he's learning that there's a point where the tam itself has a din of the mamish. In other words, what does tam ki ikar mean? It means to say that if I could give so much flavor to the food, to the heter, that it's as if there really is mamish in there, then there's no difference between tam and the mamish at that point. Now, it's tam ki ikar is not like a new din of tam, but it's really like a din of mamish. Like you can have the mamish in either way. Either when the tam could be a substitute for the mamish itself. It's very similar to Rabbeinu Chaim. It's similar to Rabbeinu Chaim. Now, this is different than Rabbeinu Chaim because Rabbeinu Chaim is saying that the achilas tam is like an achilas mamish. He's saying the presence of the tam is like the presence of the mamish. But you have to have a certain amount of, you have to have a mamish dika tam. Right? You know what I'm saying? Now you got it. What kind of a tam? What do you mean that tam is ki ikar? That means to say that. And that means to say there's no din of ikar per se. You can have the shame of the mamish even via its tam. But only when the tam reaches like a quality of mamish. If he's saying, what's the difference between squeezing a reveus of grape juice into the cup of water and having so much of the tam of the grapes that it tastes like that? No difference. That's no, there's no difference between those two cases. All right, it's very hard to define it precisely, but that's his approach. Okay, let's leave it go. Let's continue though, back to the Gemara. So basically, what do you have? You have that the Rabbeinu Tam is learning. It's like a new. They're both learning. It's so Rabbeinu Tam is the most machmir. He's saying it's his own new din of Tam. Rabbeinu Chaim is saying it's a din of the achila of the mamish, and the Ramban is saying it's like a din of the mamish itself. You have to have it. You have to have it acting like the mamish in order to have it to have the shame of the mamish. Okay. Anyway, let's go further. We'll come back to Tom Kicker next week, or maybe in a couple of days when we do the Reb Chaim on in Machal Asiris. Okay. So anyway, so let's move on to let's continue the notion of Tom of Gam. So the Gemara continues on Samach Zayin on the base. It says like this: what were we up to? We were up to proving that we hold that Afagav the Pugma. What do you say? That we hold like the Ikadamri of Rish Lakish. That Hashtamiya Pogmo is also. Okay. Alright, so the Gemara says like this: Vihilchasa Kalishna Basar Rish Lakish. What's the matter? It's not clear? Okay. So. Yeah, just one more bite at the Ramban over there. So just that. He's saying that when the mamish, when the tam is functioning just like the mamish, functionally they're indistinguishable. Then we treat them the same. You don't say that because it's not mamish, it's mutter. You say when the presence of the tam is indistinguishable from the presence of the ochel of the mamish, then we say they're the same. Whether he would say get Malkus Rish Kazayas or not is not clear. Mustava, you would not, the way we're saying it. Mustava, the way we're saying it, you would not. You'd need to eat the whole thing. But we have to leave it go. I don't know. The Ramban is not really clearly, it's not really clear. Basically, he passes like Rashi, so he doesn't go into what the Tom Kicker precisely means. But that's what it seems, something along those lines. We'll see. Maybe he's similar to the Rambam. Maybe we'll see when we get to the Rambam. But anyway, now let's go back to the Nos and Tam of Gam, because they're interrelated, the two sugyas. So the Gemara is like this: Hilchasa Kalishin Basas Reish Lakish. Amar Rav Kahana Midivrei Kulam. I didn't tell you a story here, but Midivrei Kulam Nilma Nos and Tam of Gam Mutter. So you can see from all of these sheetas that Nos and Tam of Gam is Mutter. Amar Leibai Bishlam Kulo Lechaye. So you write about all the other ones, but Reish Lakish Amrukam of Leilo Sirulei. Okay, fine. But you can't prove that Reish Lakish holds that way himself. Maybe he's just saying it because he says Amru. He doesn't say his own shita. He says, Amru, maybe that's not a shita. Fine. Anyway, go ahead. Pick it up from there. Mechlal. Who wants to read? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The Hilchot says, like, these shitas, that means to say someone really holds his usher. Does someone really hold Nosin Tam of Gam as usher? Yeah, they do. Go ahead. So it's a machlokas, a big machlokas. Rav Meir says, Nos Nam L'Shvach and Nos Nam L'Fgam are both Aser. And Rav Shimon says, L'Shvach is Aser and L'Fgam is Mutter. Machlokas Rav Meir and Rav Shimon. Okay, go ahead.
My time is Rav Meir.
Konami L'Shvach. Okay, so Giyuli of the Chavim is one of the foundations in these sugyas, right? What's Giyuli of the Chavim mean? What's it referring to? So when the Ibn Yisrael fought, Midian, so Eliezer came out after the Milchama and said, you have to kasher all the Kalim that you captured. Right? Eshia Tavirbeish, Eshia Tavirbeish, Tavirbeish. That's where that parsha by the Milchama, by the Bnei Midian, is the source for kashering the Kalim. Because he said, anything that was used for the fire, you have to put it in the fire. Anything that was used for with the hot with water, you have to heated with water. And anything else, you have to just do tefillah. So, from that parsha, we see one thing 100%. You cannot use kalim that were used for treif. You may not cook in kalim that we use for treif. Because otherwise, why would he have to come out and say, kasha the kalim? Right? Pasha. So that's called Giulei Ovdei Kochavim. The Rachmono Asrinu Beklei Midjan, Tachsiv, Kol Dover She Yavo Beish Tavir Beish. Umash Mahov and Ishtamish Ovdei Kochavim Bekli Chamin, Tzarech Lahar Siach, Kedei Shiflot, Giul Shabola. So the Pasuk really talks about Eish. But he says, but also, things that they use with hot food, hot water, things like that, you'd have to boil it to get out the tam, right? So this is Reb Meir's argument. What do you see? You see that the kelim of Bnei Midjan were asa, without the hechsher. So, what does that have to do with Nos Novgam? Good answer. And so he says that. How do I learn Nos Tavakam is usher from Giulei Avichavim? Because the Torah says Kasher the Kalim, right? Now Giulei Avichavim lav Nos Tavakam who? Doesn't the food that you cook in those treif pots give a bad time to what you're cooking? Vos Rachmana. So even though when you use the old pots from the old treif pots in your food, it really gives you food a little bit of a little bit of a pagam. But the Torah said kasher those kalim, right? So you see, the Torah was concerned about nosin tam pagam. So hachanami loshna. So therefore, every case of nosin tam pagam is asur. I can prove it from Giulei Avichavim, because Giulei Avichavim Torah says kasher the pots. Those pots are going to be poking the food you cook in them. And so you see, Nosin Tam of Gam is Azar. Right? Rashi, Lav Nosin Tam of Gam, who bit me on top Shitlon, Kol Tav Shalon Laila Echad Nifgam Taim of Over Tsurasa. That's a Dabi Yadua, that anything that's old that sits out overnight has already gone bad. So the Kalim are sitting out overnight. They captured them from the Milchama with Midjan. You have these old kalim. Torah says, don't use those old kalim. Why? The old kalim only have a nosin tam of gam. So you see, nosin tam of gam is asr. Otherwise, why couldn't you use the kalim? The only reason we don't use old kalim l'chatkila is experiment rabbanim. But this is all deraisa. The idach. So what does Rabbi Shimon say to this powerful argument? He says very simple. When the Torah says kasher the clay midjan, which kalim was it referring to? The ones that were used that day. Shebishul ba ovichav mayom delo nifkam. It was only talking about the kalim that were used on that very same day. But the kalim from yesterday, Torah never required you to kasher them. So there goes the whole argument. Boy, that was quick. That was quick. Seems so convincing at first. Right? No, simple chilek. Ein hachanami, you're right. The kalim that are lifgam, you don't have to kasher. Aye, so which kalim do you have to, which kalim was the Torah telling you to kasher? The fresh kalim, not the old kalim. Okay, v'idach. E after the little pogma porto. And the other one says, Rashi, V'idach, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir. So he says, no. That even a ben yomo, even a bas yoma, even a freshly used pot, it's impossible that it's not a little bit bad. It's impossible that the next food that you cook in it is not going to be a little bit bad because of the old tam, even from today. Therefore, what? His proof comes back. Since it's pogum right now, even the bas yuma, so then, and the Torah tells you to kasher it, so you see again, nosin tam of gam is asur. So when you trace this machlokas back, what does it trace back to? To one question. What's the one question that it all revolves around?
So
whether a bas yuma is pagma purta. Now, as everybody says, I'll learn from Geula of Kavim. Gladly, I'm going to learn from Geula of Kavim. If you hold a bas yuma is all lishvach, so then you can learn that those are the kelim that the Torah required you to kasher. And the kelim that are pagam, the yesterday's kelim, you don't have to kasher. So then I'll show you, nosin talmav gam is mutter, and nosin talmav shvach is aser. Right? The point is, you've got to find, in order to learn nosin talmav gam being mutter, you've got to be able to say that the pogam kelim are not the ones the Torah told you to kasher. Right? Now, if you hold every kli is always pogam immediately, even right after you use it, then there are no kelim other than pogam kelim to refer to. So then you must conclude that even nosin talmav gam is aser, because all the kelim are nosin talmav gam. And the Torah had to tell you the kasher some kelim, not no kelim. So it must be that even though all the kelim are nosin talmav gam, Torah still requires you to kasher the kelim that are nosin talmav gam. Why nosin talmav gam? Must be aser. But if you learn that the fresh kelim are not lefgam, then you can learn those are the kelim Torah told you the kasher. And the lefgam ones didn't tell you the kasher. Right? The only question is, can you be cornered? And can you be forced into saying, that's the question, are you forced into saying from Geula V'Kav that lefgam is aser? You're only going to be forced if there's no lishvach kelim that you can say the Torah is talking about. And that's going to depend on whether a kli ben yom was lishvach or lefgam. So what's difficult in this sugi is it sounds like a factual machlokas. Is a kli ben yomo pogam porter or not? If you say it is, then you have to conclude lefgam is aser. And if you say it's not, then you can conclude lefgam is mutter. But isn't that like a funny kind of a question? They're going to argue about a bas yuma, is it lefgam or not?
Can't the question be whether it's factual?
Okay, so Tosus takes up this problem. Tosus says, the bottom of this Tosus, four lines up, he says, Yesh Lomar Devadai Gam Rabbi Shimon Modi Depugma Porta. Says you have to really say that even though it says in the Gemara that Rabbi Meir is the one who says it's Pugma Porta, and Rabbi Shimon doesn't seem to hold from Pugma Porta, because he says it's all the Shvach, and that's why it's Aser. In truth, it's not really possible to say that Rabbi Shimon denies the fact that it's Pugma Porta. U'mikol mokom lo yolef minei. Les or pagam ba'alma. They're not arguing about whether it's Pugma Porta or not. They're arguing about whether you can prove from Pugma Porta that pagam in general is Aser. Kigon she'ena bas yuma. Dika pogam rabba. That's a big pogam. De pogam rabba mi pogam purta de bas yuma lo yafinan. You must say that's really the machlokas. Not a machlokas factually if it's pogma purta. But do you learn pogam rabba from pogam purta? Hachi svir leiv le Rebbe Shimon. That you don't. Right? Remeir sova de yafinan pogam rabba pogam purta. Viki depreciates meikara to plead bas yuma ipogma ilo. Because if you're going to say like he was saying originally, they're really arguing whether factually there's a pagam in the first, in the bas yuma. Zayin osvara, that's not a svara. Dimke nixionan. Let's just find out. We'll do an experiment.
Wait, he's saying the whole thing saying that it's still aser. He's saying that it's not a rabba.
You can't learn. It's a very interesting toast. He's saying you can't learn that they're having a factual machlokas if a pot that's fresh that was used today is going to be pogame the next tafshil. What kind of a machlokas is that for Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir to have? Let them go to the kitchen and figure it out. Settle it like
men.
Like men. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, not all foods are
are necessarily going to fulgain the next food.
Yeah, okay.
That's an interesting question.
Because sometimes the food left over will enhance the food, sometimes it'll be fulgain, sometimes it'll be neutral.
It's a good question. It's a good question. But he's saying that it doesn't make sense to say that they're arguing on this factually.
Okay.
Right? Because what kind of a... that's not a machlokas. That's not a svara. It's not a svara. Right? You argue on svara. You don't argue on facts. So if it's a factual question, you'll go and investigate the facts. You wouldn't have a svara argument. So, and this is an attainable fact. So he says, you must say they really agree it's Pagma Porta, but they're arguing about whether you can learn from the little Pagam to the big Pagam. Like a day old Pagam is a big Pagam. One day is a little Pagam. Do you learn from little to big? So what's that machlokas? What kind of svara machlokas is that?
Yeah.
Oh. What does it mean learn from little to big? It means like this. So the Torah said kasher, the thing that has a little Pagam. Does that mean, if you learn little Pagam is equal to big Pagam, then that means all Pagam is Asar. But if you'll say little Pagam is different than big Pagam, that little Pagam is Asar, and big, then I can say little Pagam is Asar, but big Pagam is Mutter. Big Pagam means a day old in time.
Okay.
So Rabbi Meir says, look, the Torah says Kasher, the Kasher Kalim. Even the fresh Kalim is telling you the fresh Kalim is telling you the Kasher, right? Does the fresh Kli have a little bit of a Pagam? Yes. And I don't differentiate between Pagam. Once there's a little bit of Pagam, I say it's the same as being fully Pagam.
Like the day old.
Day old. I say there's no difference, there's no qualitative difference, just a quantitative difference. There's no qualitative difference between the little Pagam and the big Pagam. So telling you that the little Pagam is Asr is the same as telling you that the old Kli is Asr. And if the old Kli is Asr, then Lefgam is Asr. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, you're crazy. Of course the fresh Kli has a little bit of Pagam. But Tosa is going to go on to say, that's exactly the Chiddush of the Torah. That little Pagam is nothing. That little Pagam is Asr. That little Pagam is not considered really a Pagam. Of course there's a little Pagam there. But it's not a really a shame of a Pagam. That's now we disregard that little Pagam and we call it Lishvach. But day old, that's really Lifgam. We can't say that's Mutter. That's not going to be Mutter. There's a little bit of a reverse thinking going on, right? One of those reverse thinking problems. When I say it's good, I mean it's bad. You know what I mean? When I say the Pagam is good, that's when I say we don't care about the Pagam, that means we say it's all Usher.
What was the last time we had that?
I don't know. It comes up every once in a while. Notice to say the Pagam is good means...
It's effective.
Right, exactly. Okay, so anyway. So what's the svara, though, about whether you can say a little Pagam is different than a big Pagam? That's what I really wanted to see if we can understand. What's the question of whether I differentiate between the Pagam of... the Bas Yuma, the Pagam Porta, or the Pagam of the Deol Teis, which is Neina Ben Yom, which is a Pagam Goma. So the question is, what do we mean by its Pagam Porta? What does that mean? I understand a Deol Tam, because it really disintegrated, or really deteriorated, I should say. Right? It went bad. It went sour. Right? The Tam after day really goes sour. So what is Pagam Porta saying? Saying it's a little bit going sour? It's saying like, is it saying like, what is the nature of the Pagam Porta? Is it just the beginning of the Bas Yoma saying it's already started a little bit? Or is it a different kind of a Pagam? Because, right, what he's saying is EF Shalom Pagma Porta. Why? What kind of an argument is that? I'll tell you, look, if I leave milk out overnight, it'll be Pagam in the morning. That doesn't mean if I leave it out in the afternoon, it's EF Shadlo Pagma Porta. Could be that there's no Pagam at all for the first 10 hours, first 20 hours. Doesn't mean because after one full day it's Pagam, doesn't mean that it had to have been a little bit Pagam earlier in the day.
Or to say it's not.
Right. So there's a Rashi, in Psachim that tries to explain this problem, that tries to solve this problem, I think.
You want me to get it?
No, I got it right here in my Moshe Rashi. He says, because the Gemara has the same more or less a very similar discussion in Pesachim. In Pesachim, they're more concerned about whether you can learn Tam Ke'ikr from Gilui of the Chavim, as opposed to our sugi, we're worried if you can learn Nos and Tam of Gam from Gilui of the Chavim. This Tosis is trying to figure out how those two sugis go together. But the Gemara in Pesachim says that I'll prove to you Tam Ke'ikr is Asur because of Gilui of the Chavim. Because why does Torah say the Kli is Asur? It's only Tam. So doesn't that prove Tam is Ke'ikr? Right? So the Rabbanan say, no, you can't prove it, because since it's Pagum Porta, that's a Chiddush. Really, it should be Mutter, because it's Nosan Tam of Gam, because it's Pagum Porta already. And yet the Torah says Asur, so you see, that's a Chiddush. Once you have a Chiddush, you can't learn a general rule from it. But on the Gemara of Pagum Porta, Rashi says what? He says, Mitam HaKli Nifgama HaBliya. What do you think that means? Mita'am ha'kli nifkemo ha'bliya. Right, EF should the low pogma porta, mita'am ha'kli nifkemo ha'bliya. What do you think that means? Sounds to me like he's saying the kli itself is going to create a pagam. It's not a matter of age. It's not like a smaller shear of the day-old tam. The day-old is a pagam that comes from age. So young is not you don't call a young guy a little bit aged. Aged is a certain qualitative thing, right? 24 hours is aged. 2 hours is not a little aged. That's not aged at all. So there's no pagam at all of the that comes from the deterioration, putrefaction of the tam, that doesn't start, you don't have that a little bit. At any point, it all comes at once. This is a totally different idea of pogrom. He's learning the very interaction with the metal of the kli, with the substance of the kli itself, alters the tam. You never get the same tam coming out that went in. It's intrinsically reduced when it but from the kli itself. So that already poses, and that already lays the ground for an interesting machlokas. That lays the groundwork for an interesting machlokas. And he's saying everybody agrees that the kli itself changes the tam a little bit. Everybody agrees to that. But they argue about whether that's considered pogum or not, really. Is that really considered pogum or not? Just like the pagam of the age. So what do you say? Now, what's the best thing you can say about this pagam? What's the best thing you can say about this pagam? It had no choice. It's intrinsic.
I have no clue what you mean by that.
About being nice to the pagam or about calling it intrinsic?
Both.
First one is just a little joke.
Yeah.
The second one means to say that every time you cook, automatically you're going to be altering the tam of the food through the process of the cooking itself. Every time you cook with kalim, you're automatically going to create a bliya of the tam into the kli, which intrinsically alters the tam. You understand?
By nature.
E afshar. The low pogma porta mitam akli. Not possible. It's just part of what happens when you cook with kalim. Right? You hear where I'm going with this? As opposed to the eino ben yomo. That's because you left something out overnight. Okay, so everybody agrees that when the pagam comes, everybody agrees in that case it's mutter. Or whatever. Everybody agrees in that case that's the real pagam. Right? But the question is like this. The question is the pagam of the kli itself. So what do you say? I'm just trying to set it up a little bit. What do you say now? What's the argument to say it's the same?
Because it's still
lufgam. Because lamaisa, it's lufgam. The side that says there's no difference, he's saying, look, objectively speaking, this tam was changed. This tam was was deadened, it was altered, it was affected. Okay? That's what we mean by lifgam. We mean to say it's a little bit off. Doesn't have to be terrible. Just has to be a little bit off. So, factually speaking, the tam went a little bit off. It's pugum compared to what it could be. What's the other side? The other side is saying there is no such thing as a tam through bishul other than this tam. This is its tam. This is by definition its tam. In order to say it's lifgam, you have to say it's pugum from what it could have been. You are being idealistic and you're saying, in theory, this tam was really a pristine tam, but the interaction with the kalim knocked it off a little bit. But you know what? You can't cook without kalim. So, in the situation of bishul, this is its pristine tam. Mm-hmm. That's exactly the chiddush of the Torah, that we negate alterations of tam that come from the natural process of the bishul itself, because that's not called an alteration. That's just the nature of the tam. Now, is this tam in this in the tam? The tam itself is not cannot be any better. You can't say that it's lifgam because this is just the intrinsic nature of what tam through bishul is going to always be. So, what are you going to say? Every single time you cook with kalim, it's lifgam? No. That's just the nature of tamim of bishul. That's how they are. They're not called lifgam. You don't call every single one lifgam. On the contrary, you say this is how tamim taste when they're in. This is how tamim of the bishul process are.
Which one has the sensation?
Right, like Johnny's saying, in terms of sensation, it's changed. Can't argue with that. It is changed. But you can't really say it's reduced from what it... You can't say there was any negative... you can't say it was reduced or altered from its... from what it should be in this tarobas, because it got into this tarobas through bishul. And you had to get it in through bishul. There's no other way you could have done it. So the very nature of the process... the intrinsic limitations of the process are not considered the pogim. Pogim means something external to the situation. You don't call the intrinsic part of the thing a pogim. In other words, like let's say you have a battery. Right, let's say you have a battery. So the battery produces a certain amount of power. Okay, based on its voltage. Produce a certain amount of power. Now the only thing is, let's say the battery says it's a 9-volt battery. So you can figure out how much power you can get out of that battery. The only thing is that lamaisa, there's always a little bit of internal resistance in the battery. There's no such thing as a battery without some internal resistance. And you can't use the battery without going through that resistance. So would you say, so lamaisa, how do you figure out what the power of this battery truly is?
Minus the resistance
or not minus resistance. Now, as you don't say that, you could say, it's logical to say the power of the battery is its intrinsic power minus its intrinsic resistance, because that is the intrinsic power of the battery. Since you can't use the battery without overcoming its own resistance, then lamaisa, it's really an 8.99 power volt battery. You know what I mean? It's really the power has to be calculated, including the resistance. You don't say that it's really the 9-volt battery, and you're losing some power. No, that's if the very way to use it includes a certain amount of resistance, then that is the power of the battery. You don't say every time you use it, you're intrinsically losing some of the battery. So no, that means that's not the real power. That means the full power is a misnomer. You can't talk about the power without the access to the power. If the access intrinsically reduces the power, then that is the power of the battery. So too here. You can't talk about the tom without the access to the tom. If the very access of the tom to the tom includes a certain alteration, then that is its tam. So it's an unaltered, it's not reduced from its nature of being a tam of bishul. Because tam bishul has to include the transfer of tam through bishul, which is via the kalim, which intrinsically alters it. But that's not called, that's called a natural state of a tam of bishul. But objectively, in terms of objective sensation, it was changed, but not in terms of practically speaking what it is. Practically speaking, this is the fullest tom you can ever get out of a bishul. The tom minus the interaction. There's no other way. So it's a question, but use it. That's what I'm trying to say. You don't subtract from the usage. You have to subtract from the usage the things that allow you to use it. So if the only way to use tam in bishul is to go through a kli, then that is its tam in kalim. That's not lefgam.
Minus whatever.
Exactly. No, here's a better example. Yeah. Let's say you're holding something sticky, right? And every time you give it to somebody, you always retain a little bit on your finger, stuck on your finger. So if you would ask the question, how much do I have to give? So do you say, well, you're holding everything in your hand, right? But that's not what I have to give, because the giving will necessarily reduce it a little bit. The very giving it means I have to touch it. And touching it means some of it will stick to me. So I really only have to give whatever the situation, the most that the situation of giving allows for. Right? Mm-hmm. So what is the tam that the Isser has to give to the food? Intrinsically, it's no greater of a tam than the interaction with the kli allows for. So really it comes out that the Isser gave its full tam to the food that was cooked in the pot, because it couldn't give any more tam than whatever was lost in it couldn't give any more tam, because since it had to go through the pot, the interaction is intrinsically part of what the nesinas tam is. Just like I can't give you all that I have in my hand, it's not possible, because the situation demands that my touching it requires me to retain some of it. So if you ask, how much do I have to give, you wouldn't say you shortchanged me. You gave me less than you could have. I didn't. It's true, I didn't give you everything that was in my hand, but I gave you everything that the situation of giving allows for. So too by the tam. Did it give me a tam pogum? Did it give me a cheated, a shortchanged, altered tam? No, because it could only give through the kli. And then intrinsically, it gave all that it could give, not all that it was. That's the key question. Is lefgam go by all that it was, or all that it can give? In terms of all that it can give, it's the perfect tam. It gave as much good tam as it could give. So that's not called, that's pugma porta. Is not the same as if I already have a good time and potential and I let it sit over a day and get rotten, then of course it didn't give as much as it could give. But this did. This gave every element of flavor that was possible to be transferred, was transferred. How is that lefgam? That's the perfect, that's in its perfect state.
Wait, we're saying that it could give as much as it possibly could have if it was less than 24 hours?
Yeah. It could give less than 24, even when it's fresh, it can't give more than the giving allows for. The giving includes the pot. So did it give all of its giving? Yes, 100%. It's not as good as what, yeah, but it can't give without doing that. Right? Just like I can't give you the thing without touching it, which intrinsically reduces its the amount that you're going to get. Right? But in terms of objectively what it was changed. So in terms of the nesina, it was not changed. In terms of an entity of nesina, it wasn't changed. An entity of transfer, it's exactly the same. Because that's how you define an entity of transfer. You can't talk about an entity of transfer without calculating the transfer into it. Right? But in terms of what it was, it's altered. So that's the question. A pagam that comes from the transfer itself, is that considered the pagam? If you're looking at Nosatam of Gam in terms of just the sensation of the tam itself, what it was to what it is now, then it was altered. But if you look at it in terms of a reduction of what it should be, it's not. It can't be anymore. I have to think about that. So that's how you can say, but you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to say, everyone agrees it is pagma purta, but the question is that pogrom the same kind of a pogrom that we're talking about with the day old? Rabbi Meir says, yeah, what do you see? You still see from here that even though the Isser was changed, it's Usser. So 24 hours is also changed. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, from here you see that this is a different kind of an alteration. This is an intrinsic to the Nesina. You don't say it's a no-sane Tam Lefgam. If it's no-sane, all of its intrinsic ability to be no-sane. If it's no-sane to its intrinsic ability to be a no-sane. It didn't shortchange the next pot. It gave it its all. The act of giving reduces it. That's its all.